So that's terrific. Well, we're going to carry on with our theme now, and Sue kindly is going to read the rest of our reading for us. So we're now picking up Jesus has been baptized, and then of all things, having been baptized, he begins his ministry. How? By heading to the desert on his own. And Susan's going to pick up the story for us. Thanks, Sue.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Sorry, that's...
Next slide, please, Peter.
Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
Thanks, Sue, and thanks, Peter. Isn't this a remarkable encounter? Jesus has been baptized, he's ready to start his ministry, and then, full of the Holy Spirit, he goes to the desert to be alone. And furthermore, as he's alone, he finds an encounter with the devil, with Satan, in which he is being tested to the extreme. So he's been affirmed in his identity, and then he decides that his route to success, his route to victory as a champion, is going to be to start with a period of isolation, loneliness, and difficulty. I wonder if you've ever had a period like that in your life, maybe not in the desert, but maybe a period where you felt alone and challenged. Truth is, if we look around us and look at examples of sporting heroes or champions in all sorts of fields, actually lots of them have to go through a period of difficulty. If you look at a football team, they go away for pre-season training every year, where they might go a couple of weeks away somewhere and be put through a tremendous ordeal of physical challenge, all sorts of tests and running and exercises in order to be in shape for the season ahead. So perhaps that's a little bit of what's going on here. Jesus has taken himself away, led by the Holy Spirit, to get in shape for the mission at hand. But there he is threatened and suddenly finds himself at the very weakest moment, suddenly finds himself being threatened by Satan and put in a great position of temptation. So what I'd like us all to participate in now is identifying what are the traits that we see in Jesus. What's the way he behaves that's like the behavior of a champion? Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to share the whiteboard, and I would like you please to either unmute yourself and tell me, or type in the chat, or add to the whiteboard. I think you'll be able to do it yourself. And let's just have a go at writing down together, what is it about Jesus that we see that are the marks of the champion in how he dealt with that time. So please start typing in the chat or start saying to me, and let's fill our whiteboard. What do you see of Jesus in the way he handled? So we have, he shows courage. Thanks, Mary. So we got then, who else wants to add to our whiteboard or unmute? Let's see, lots of contributions, please. See, patience by Jesus. Absolutely. He showed lots of patience. He was focused. Thank you, Annette. Absolutely. Jesus was clearly focused on the task at hand, wasn't he? Absolutely. Long-suffering. Yeah, he long-suffering. I can see some longer... Thank you, Peter, saying you can go to view options and then annotate. Richmond and Cheryl, so he knows who he is and who his father is. Let's go, steeped in scriptures. Thank you. So there's two there, isn't it? There's he steeped in scriptures. Steeped, what a word there. And also he knows who he is. Knows who he is and who his father is. Let's go to that. Knows his authority. That's good. Thank you. We're filling up nicely. What else have we got? He's knowledgeable out there, the scriptures, and he chose not to attract attention. Not to attract attention. We got knows the scriptures. We got steeped in scriptures, and he knows the scriptures. Scriptures, somebody's doodling. Best not to doodle on there, but just type in if you'd like. We've also got perseverance, trusting, and speaking the truth. Thank you. Yeah, we spoke about truth earlier, and we affirmed that, didn't we, from Toto Wolff. That's interesting. Toto Wolff spoke of truth, brutal truth, but there was acknowledgement of truth, and we see that, didn't we? We see that there with Jesus. He speaks the truth. He's trusting. Thanks, Katie. And he shows from the Chans there. Thank you. He shows perseverance, doesn't he? That's really helpful, isn't it? Let's just take that in. This is giving us a great example of who Jesus is and what it's like to act as a champion in times of difficulty. He shows courage, patience. Carl there. Thank you. He has knowledge of himself. He knows his authority. He knows who he is and who his father is. He knows the scriptures. In fact, he's steeped in the scriptures. He's trusting. He's got perseverance. He's got patience. He speaks the truth, and he chose not to attract attention. What a fantastic set of traits to be inspired by, that is, isn't it? That's terrific. That's something for us to take away there. We can share that later and in the follow-up in the meeting notes there, can't we? Absolutely. Just see that from Matt as well. He doesn't choose the easy way out, and he's a champion because he wins out in the end. Absolutely. It was victorious behavior. I just wanted to draw out a couple of things there. Particularly one thing is on the scripture. It seems to me, not only, I think steeped is a really helpful word there. Not only does he know the words and know the verses like they're kind of just things he can recant and say, but there's something about him living and breathing the scriptures such that they're part of his identity. Those Bible verses form who he is and how he understands his mission and identity. I also want to acknowledge that there's certain things that we're being told about here. If you think about it, Jesus has gone away. This matter happens when Jesus is totally on his own. So he's told his disciples about it. And then Mark, Matthew, and Luke have all chosen to tell us about it. In fact, Mark only says he goes away. Matthew and Luke give us the detail. So Peter is just going to show us one slide. And I would just like to suggest why it is they might want to tell us about this encounter. So thanks, Peter. I think they want us to know these four things. They want us to know that Jesus the champion is more powerful than Satan and the greatest of forces of evil. They want us to know that Jesus did and does everything in submission within the Trinity, within relationship. They want us to know that Jesus is the kind of person that will not waver from his mission, and that he has the strength of character to not be distracted, give in, and will do what it takes to succeed. And lastly, they want us to know that Jesus is succeeding where Israel couldn't, and that whilst Israel spent 40 years in the desert and gave in to evil at times, Jesus spent these 40 days in the desert alone and stayed faithful. I want to say to us this morning, take heart. We can be encouraged, can't we, that we are joined to Jesus. We're joined to the one who we've just described in that whiteboard and who we can say we belong to, who is our rescuer and our champion. But we do also need a reality check, don't we? Because whilst Christ is the champion, the whole of the Bible story tells us that his work is not finished yet. And actually, we still have to participate in the mission that he started. And that means that actually there are times where things don't go our way, where it seems like we can't see victories at hand, where things are frustrating that have to draw things out in us. So before we draw to a close, we're going to be hearing from John soon. I've got a couple of things I want to share, but actually we're going to take a moment to pray. Because actually we can use the scriptures, can't we, to help us articulate what we're experiencing today. That's what Jesus did. And so we're going to look at Psalm 130, and I'd like to invite you to pray now and enter into the spirit of this psalm, which as much as it's about declaring who God is, it's also about complaining. It's about saying, God, I need your help. And this can be a chance for us to intercede. And as Charlotte's already shared in the chat, for instance, we're going to be praying for Martin Chan, who has COVID at the moment. We'll pray for his God's provision. So, Peter, please share the screen. And then I'd like you, please, to just read along as we go. But we're going to pause after each section that I've broken up there. And it's a chance for you to pray at home for anything that's on your heart and mind. You might like to pray for a circumstance that you know that's near to yourself, or maybe it's something very beyond you. It's something national or international. So let's read this first line together. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. I just invite you now to just pray and confess where you're crying for mercy, where you're asking God to help you or help someone else. Continue reading together. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Just invite you now to be praying. Where are you waiting? Where are you looking for God to act and he hasn't? Where are you requiring patience? And where are you seeking hope? Just invite you to pray now at home on those themes. Lastly, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Lord, we put our hope in you. Jesus, we put our hope in you as our champion, as our healer, as a restorer, as the one who gives us hope. Lord, today we wait on you and we seek you for the Chan family. We pray for healing for Martin. Lord, we pray that he would recover quickly from COVID and would be kept safe. We pray that whole family would know your strength and your grace as they take caution as COVID is in the household. Lord, we continue to pray for those, a few of us in this church family, who are experiencing grief after recent bereavements, Lord. May we know your comfort, Lord. And in this life, we still encounter death. And yes, we look forward to a time where there will be death. And we know there are loved ones who we long to see again. Lord, may we know your comfort. And Lord, we just intercede for this world where if we take a look at the news, there are some scary things happening. Lord, we intercede. We ask for your will to be done in the world today. We pray, Jesus the champion, would you bring victory to places of conflict and suffering, to pain and loss. Jesus, we are asking, would you be present and active? We call upon leaders. We call upon your church to act in your name, for your will to be done and your kingdom to come. Amen. Thanks, Peter. My wife has kindly helped me see that apparently I prayed we look forward to a time of death, which is a fascinating thing for me to pray for. You can end the slide, Peter. So forgive me. Clearly, I'm not praying for that. I'm praying for the time where there is no death, as we know that is a promise for us. So I'd like to ask you just two questions as we come to an end. The first, we've reflected on the theme of identity. I just wonder, what does the end of your day look like? How do you end your day? Do you end your day like Toto Wolff, in harsh judgment of yourself, wondering if you've met your key performance indicators? Or do you end your day with God? Have you ever considered the prayer of examine, for instance, a practice where you can end the day looking for where all the moments have been, where God has been present in your day, where there've been life and energy? That's my first question. My second question is, what would it look like for the scriptures to be either more active or active for the first time in how you live out the rest of the day and the rest of the week? I wonder, how up on you are you at the, how much at the moment do you memorize scripture? How much or how many verses do you have to hand when life is difficult or indeed when life is fruitful? Are there verses that you can bring to mind that help you to get through difficult times or maybe times when you're waiting on the Lord? I just invite you to consider this week, what might it look like for a verse or two maybe to be added to those that come to mind when you're living out your days this week?